The Grade 3 Conference, Lecture 1, The Fourfold Human Being. You will notice if you scroll down in this section that in addition to the several lectures that I'm giving on the Fourfold Human Being, there's also links to a dynamic diagram of the Fourfold Human Being, a link to the 9-10-year change, and also a number of links to lectures which seem, on the titles, to repeat the content of what I'm giving here. These additional lectures are actually part of a very lengthy course on the life and times of Rudolf Steiner. Some of the material that you're hearing right now will be repeated. A good deal of it goes more deeply into more esoteric aspects of Steiner's picture of the human being. And I'm giving this extensive amount of material for several reasons. One is that for those of you for whom this is brand new, it would be good for you to sort of hear it over again in a different way. On the other hand, for those of you who I believe would be in the majority, who have a Waldorf training, who've been involved in Waldorf Steiner study groups, perhaps in and out of your school, that what I'm going to say in the first few lectures may be material with which you're familiar. Listen to the other aspects of it, which are perhaps less familiar if you want to go more deeply. But for everybody, I would say that you can never, particularly in grade three, you can never ever go over this aspect of Steiner's work often enough. It's really critical for us to understand the dynamic, ever-changing, metamorphosing nature of the fourfold human being, for us to really be teaching the children in the right spirit, to really be giving them more than just the information in the curriculum, but really giving them something that is transformational, and if I may coin a term, incarnational, that's really helping them come into themselves. This is needed more than ever now. And third grade is a kind of battlefield. It really brings us to the forefront of the great conflicts between the world of the spirit and the world of the matter that are the world of matter that are being waged in our time. So with that preface, I cannot urge you earnestly enough to take this aspect of this conference very much to heart. It will really help you be all the best teacher that you can be. Okay, now let's go on and look at the informational side of it. So Steiner gives us a picture of the human being who is a physical body at birth. This is the body that we know, that we are very familiar with. We can touch it, we can hear it, we can smell it, and we can experience the physical bodies of others as well as our own, and assume that other individuals are having similar experiences of that physical body to our own. When we are born and this physical body appears, we could say that it is 100% complete. That is to say that everything that is potentially going to be present in that physical body is there. All of the organs, whatever shape or size they are at birth, are fully there. They just need to complete themselves in physical growth. They need to change their shape, perhaps move slightly in relation to one another. the potential for all of the body chemistry, some of which will appear in a spectacular way 12, 13, 14 years after birth, that too is already there. However, it may be in seed form or molecular form, waiting to take its full chemical identity at a later point. So we are 100% in our physical body, but we are not only physical when we are born. There's another part of our nature accompanying the physical body, partly in it, partly out of it, and this is the etheric body. The body of etheric forces, of ethereal forces, as it's sometimes called. Steiner also spoke of it in two other ways, the body of formative forces, or form body, and the life body. So the physical body, we might say, is not alive. The physical body at any moment is potentially a corpse. It's the etheric body's presence in and around, permeating, but also working from outside upon the physical body, which makes that physical body fully alive. And contrariwise, when that etheric body withdraws completely, then the physical body reverts to its own kind and just becomes, we could say, a mass of minerals, just, you know, so many atoms, molecules. And it is a corpse. And left to itself, it will revert completely to the physical world. So the etheric body is really a key here. And the etheric body is the great companion of the physical body. Although at birth, I would say, and I'm using this in a kind of analogous way, that at birth, only about 25% of that etheric body is permeating the physical body. The rest can't fit. The physical body's too small. The etheric body is huge. It stretches out as far, we might say, as the orbit of the moon. It stretches out 250,000 miles in any direction, the distance of the moon from the Earth, in a great sphere around the Earth. So every little baby, every newborn baby, shares in this sphere of etheric forces that goes far beyond the boundaries of the baby's body, of the room in which the baby is, of the Earth's atmosphere, all the way to the moon. Which is why when we walk into a nursery or when we're in the presence of a newborn, we feel from a great distance that newborn's influence. You know, everybody wants to hold it. Everybody, including politicians, wants to kiss that newborn. We can feel the force of life itself is permeating that child's nature, and we want to be part of it. The process of incarnation, the process of child development for the first 7, 9, 10 years, up until about fifth grade for many children, is of an incorporation of those etheric forces into the physical body. So they are moving rapidly from the sphere of the moon and contracting, contracting, contracting. So every step that little one takes in growing bigger, we might say physically is an expansion, etherically is a contraction. We can't grow unless etheric forces are being drawn into us and swelling out from inside out. That's what growth is, a contraction, a sacrifice in certain ways of the freedom of those etheric forces to be at one with the life of the Earth. And instead, now they grow more specialized and they begin to serve one particular human being. So this is a very exciting time in a human life, this etheric body contracting, contracting, contracting as growth occurs. So by the time of fifth grade, we see the human being with about 90-95% of the etheric body completely incorporated. And this is a time which stretches up until the most intense period of adolescence. So it could be 3 years for one child, 5 or 6 years for another. This is a time when the human being has the physical and etheric forces most balanced and harmonious. We could say it's the Greek period of the human being. It's not terribly relevant for us right now because we're dealing with children at an earlier stage. But just so we know where that kind of completion point comes. And after that period, as adolescence comes, the etheric body gently, step by step, incrementally begins to expand again. And the rest of our life is an expansion of those etheric forces, a return back to the etheric world, until finally 100% of them are gone, and that's when we die. So aging is actually a rapid expansion of the etheric forces, the forces of life rejoining the world of life and leaving the particular locale that they serve so well for a good part of our existence. So this is what we see then with the newborn, this burgeoning forces of life coming in. So for the first 7 years, the physical and etheric bodies are the most important aspect of the child. But at age 7 or thereabouts, with the change of teeth, at least in Steiner's classical ideal picture, things perhaps aren't so smooth and easy anymore. But let's say, with the change of teeth, the etheric forces still contracting, still coming into the human body, nonetheless begin to serve a different role. They're less involved in the organization of the human body. The liver, the heart, the lungs, the gallbladder, they find their rightful place. They find their relationship to one another. The various organic systems that maintain our life and that become the possibility for still further life burgeoning, all of this comes to a certain stage of completion for a period of time. And with this, etheric forces are liberated. This is not to say they're leaving us. That won't happen for a while. They're still contracting, but they're serving a different role. And this is where Steiner speaks of the etheric forces that serve life and growth, that served inner physical organization, are now freed up to serve a different level of organization. And this is particularly the development of the human memory. Now, this is why the child is ready, or used to be ready at the time of the change of teeth, to go into the first grade, to begin education in a formal way. Woe unto us, says Steiner, if we try to draw on those etheric forces too early, before that liberation occurs. The change of teeth are a fairly good indicator that the etheric forces are changing some of their role, are being ready to be raised up to another level, and that memory forces, which are at the basis of the way we learn, these forces are now at the child's disposal. So to ask children to memorize things in kindergarten, to ask them to learn to identify certain sounds with shapes, that is to say, to learn to start to read and spell, and all of the things that have grown so common in mainstream kindergartens in the United States and increasingly around the world, all of this, though it may seem to be educationally well-nigh miraculous how early children can learn all of this, nonetheless, it's actually deleterious to their life forces. So this lies very much at the basis of the Waldorf kindergarten, that the etheric forces are left alone, that the most that's asked of them is to do what they would naturally do anyway, develop a life of habit, but not a life of memory. And we'll see then how important the memory becomes in third grade, that we are really, in a way, working with it at one of its most important and powerful stages of development in human life. And we have to understand that on one level, we can speak of the etheric body and the memory as being one and the same thing. You work with a child's memory, you are also working with their life forces, either to stimulate them or to weaken them. It all depends on what kinds of demands you make on the memory and how well you're nourishing that memory as well. So now we've looked at aspects of the physical and etheric body, and I want to say again, this is barely scratching the surface. And the lectures that come at the end, as you scroll down a bit, the end of this section, these will take you a little bit more deeply and show the interrelationship of the etheric body with other aspects of the human being. So we're going to go on now in our next segment and see how we move from first through second to third grade with the fourfold human being.